Welcome to this podcast called Curious About Recovery. I am Kirsten Honeyball. I am your host. And in this podcast, I'll be diving deep into eating disorders, which are complex and challenging to navigate. So whether you're a sufferer, a professional, a family or loved one of a sufferer, you can join me as I get curious by interviewing professionals, chatting to eating disorder survivors, and sharing my personal experience with an eating disorder so that you can better understand various perspectives, remove stigma, hear inspiring testimonies, and simply get curious about all things eating disorder related. I would like to put out a trigger warning. These episodes explore the topic of eating disorders, and some content may be triggering to listeners. Topics explored may mention, but are not limited to, trauma, diets, food and body types, suicide, mental illness, substance use, self-harm, violence, gender identification topics, and more. Please take care before listening to any episodes. It's important to note that this podcast is not aimed to diagnose, treat, or cure any form of mental illness and should not be seen as a replacement for treatment of eating disorders. Everything said here is expressed in relation to personal and professional opinions, and listeners should be encouraged to view these episodes as an open-minded exploration of various possibilities and perspective rather than hard facts and solutions. Please take what applies or resonates with you and leave the rest. And if you're struggling with an eating disorder, don't hesitate to reach out to me at kirsten@kirstenhoneyball.co.za. Welcome to today's podcast episode. This is a solo episode, which means it's just me talking about things that I find either interesting or meaningful in the recovery process from an eating disorder or from any other addiction or unwanted habits. So today I'm going to be talking to you about this idea of internal freedom and why it's so important to cultivate internal freedom in terms of lasting recovery and how you can do it and kind of what it means. So for me, internal freedom is a feeling that comes when I believe that I am not physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually constrained or trapped. You know, it makes me feel as if things are sitting right in my life. It makes me feel as if I'm aligned. It makes me feel as if I am authentic and I'm showing up. And it's a state of being. And it is a place where I'm comfortable speaking my truth and being myself. And sometimes I find that really, really hard to do in recovery. And, you know, having taken the space that I've decided to occupy as a person who advocates and speaks out about recovery, I also sometimes have my own struggles, you know. I still have days where I have bad self-image days. I still have days where I think maybe resorting back to old behavior might be the thing that I need to cope with a certain emotion or something like that. But at the end of the day, I need to be cognizant of the fact that cultivating this internal freedom is vital to my ability to cope with life, to show up authentically and to continue helping people like yourself just navigate their way through a very, very complex and difficult situation. So talking about navigating yourself, what does this mean? To navigate yourself and unconditionally love yourself, and as a result, loving others unconditionally as well, is often a really challenging thing to do. Navigating oneself should be done without judgment. And it just takes me back to when I was younger and I used to go on long trips with my parents and they'd have a map. And sometimes when one of them took a wrong turn or maybe wasn't naming the turn correctly or something like that, it might have caused tension, right? And it was so funny to watch because it was like, we're just busy navigating right now. Neither of us know which way is the right way to go. Maybe I think I know which way the right way to go is, but maybe the map's saying something different. And there becomes this resistance and this tension. And when we are navigating ourselves, it's the same thing. Sometimes we're going to be met with resistance. Sometimes we're going to be met with thinking that we know better. And it might not always be that way. But as long as we can step outside of ourselves and not judge what's going on internally, but rather observe it and say, how can I utilize this feeling, this emotion, this thought pattern to grow, to enhance my strengths, to work on my weaknesses, and to really, like I said, cultivate lasting freedom from an eating disorder, which is the result of internal freedom. So I think when you're truly free within yourself, which is something that sometimes ebbs and flows and feels like it might come and go or exist in fluctuating amounts or sometimes feel non-existent completely. But when you truly feel free within yourself, I think you operate from a place of purity. So it's a place that you are free of judgment, where you are not criticizing yourself, bashing yourself down, and you're not harming yourself. And then as a result, you're not harming others. This place of purity is what I would like to think of the innocence of when you were 2 or 3 or 4 years old, before you had the world conditioning you and telling you what they thought of you, what they thought you should look like, what they thought you should think and wear and say. And this idea of just being your most purest self without tainted perspectives, and feeling truly free within yourself is throwing yourself back into the state where you didn't care about what people thought you should look like or say or do or think. You were just yourself, and you showed up unapologetically. And because of it, you were happy. You chose food that you felt like eating. You wore what you felt like wearing. And you played the way you wanted to play, not the way someone told you to play, you know. And this is just a true reflection for me of that internal purity, that joy, that innocence that you strive for when you are navigating your internal self. There are a couple of things, though, that can lead to the destruction of feeling internally free. And the first one is comparison. Now, they say that comparison is the thief of joy, and I really believe this is when I'm comparing myself, there are so many limitations I put on myself. Recently, I did a speech for a wellness day, and the first thing I could think of was the other speakers have more to say than I do. And I started doubting myself. And as soon as doubt sank in, I started feeling uncomfortable around the buffet that we had. You know, I started feeling uncomfortable about my work. I started feeling uncomfortable in my body. And my insecurity just started rising. And what I was failing to do was I was failing to go, I have something unique to offer people. And yes, it might not sink in with everyone. But there's one person or maybe two people or three people in this crowd that are going to hear what I have to say. And it's going to resonate for them. And it's going to mean something for them. So who am I to not show up authentically and to limit and judge myself because of a fear that I am not good enough or that there is some way that I need to be compared to another? And I think a lot of the time in eating disorders, our initial thing is we're comparing ourselves physically to other people. So you're walking around in the shopping center and you see someone with a certain body shape and you go, oh, I don't look like that, or what can I do to look like that, or I wish I didn't look like that, or, you know, so there's always this judgment of physical appearance. Once we look past the idea of the physical comparison, underneath it is often a character comparison. So the way that we compare who we are on an internal level to what we see other people displaying on an external level. So for instance, we might compare our career choices, or we might compare our bank statements, or we might compare the amount of children we have, or the sports that we do, or even the way that we choose to express ourselves and speak. You know, I sometimes doubt my ability to truly express myself because I tend to be a person who likes to talk a lot, which is why I'm doing a podcast. But what I mean is when I speak, I feel that there's value to what I have to say, and I'm not just splurging words, you know. And when I'm speaking authentically, and I'm speaking because it's something that is coming to me from a place outside of myself that I feel is a good message to share with others and often holds a lot of wisdom and insight. And I'm comfortable saying this because I'm comfortable in myself and the things that I've learned and how I've grown along the way. But sometimes I interact with people who don't speak, who are very reserved, who maybe don't express themselves as deeply as I do. And at first, I feel uncomfortable around those people because I think I have to change myself in order to meet their expectation of self-expression. And as soon as I do that, what I'm immediately doing is I'm saying to my truest self that I am not worth being heard and that I need to diminish or suppress a part of my personality and character in order to meet someone else's needs. And this gets me into a very tricky space, you know. And so why I'm saying this is that when I am comparing myself and when you are comparing yourself to another person, whether it's a external characteristic or an internal strength or capability, whenever you're comparing yourself to someone, you are robbing yourself of being authentically you. And I'm sure you've probably heard this all before. And it's like, well, I know that, but how do I put it into practice? How do I not compare myself? And I think the first way of not comparing yourself is to be aware of when you are comparing yourself, you know, because awareness is the precursor to change. How do we change once we have that awareness? We go into action. We go into, okay, now I know what I'm experiencing and now I want to change it. So I need to do something differently. I need to think differently. I need to behave differently. I need to speak differently. And so, for instance, if I can see myself comparing myself with a person who doesn't speak a lot and I start to diminish myself, my first action step that I have to put in is I have to say, no, I get to speak and I speak my mind. And if it is not received the way that I hope for it to be received, then that's not really my problem. Because my expression will be received by people in various different ways in my life. And if I'm walking around on eggshells trying to please everyone, then I'm not going to be a very happy person and I'm not going to feel internally free. So when you are aware of what you're doing that you don't want to do, like comparing yourself, you can then say, well, how can I counteract this thought? And maybe counteracting the thought will be literally doing the opposite of what you're thinking. So applying the opposite action. Or maybe counteracting that thought will be speaking to someone about it and saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Like, how can I deal with this? As long as you become willing to process, handle, or address the feeling that you're having, you're going to find some reprieve from it. If you just leave it there in the corner thinking that it will go away on its own, it's probably not going to happen. So comparison is a thief of joy, a huge, huge, huge one. And that's going to rob you of your internal freedom. The next one I can think about is you are robbing yourself of internal freedom when you become trapped in the emotions that are attached to your thoughts. So what I mean is when you give your emotion too much power, and this is not to say that your emotions are not valuable or that they don't need to be acknowledged or felt or dealt with, but it's more a feeling of not letting them dominate every single inch of your existence to the point of suffering. There are strong emotions like grief and pain and loss and fear and all of that. But if you can be in a space where you're not allowing the emotions that you're experiencing to have power over the decisions that you make in a harmful way, see, emotions can't be held as the driver of your decisions. Sometimes they will be. Sometimes they will be a factor. But if you let them have so much power that they're driving you to harmful behavior, then you're giving them too much power. And this can be very tricky, say, for instance, for someone who has borderline personality disorder, who experiences intense, intense emotions. And it can become very, very challenging not to let those emotions become the master of your behavior. And so things like emotion regulation can really, really help with that. And, you know, tracking the intensity of your emotions, going, you know, is this emotion proportional to the event that's busy occurring, you know, or what is triggering the emotion? Is this emotion triggering something that I'm feeling now? Or is it triggering a past hurt or a future anxiety. And you can start to understand where your emotions are coming from and what thinking is happening behind the emotions. So perhaps a friend doesn't text you and you have a really, really horrible emotional response and you feel horrible and you want to do something destructive and hurt yourself. And the emotion isn't necessarily based in this person not texting you. It might be a deeper emotion that is being triggered from perhaps a father rejecting you when you were younger, or an emotionally absent mother, or maybe a rejection of a loved one. And this rejection that you experienced in the past might have formulated the belief that you will be rejected by people that you love. And that is now a belief that you stand fast in. So now when you have a friend not texting you back, your belief immediately comes in of like, I am only worth rejection. And if someone doesn't want to talk to me, then clearly they're telling me that I'm not worthy. And this belief or this thought that you have then compounds on the feeling of rejection. And then the next thing, you're in a mess. The cycle of having a negative thought that enhances a negative emotion, that enhances a negative perception, that enhances a negative behavior, which gives you then a negative feeling again. And it goes in a cycle that just goes round and round and round and round. And if you can go and look at your emotions and say, there's a hard and fast belief that is being formulated around this emotion. How can I challenge that belief? How can I reframe it? How can I reshape it so that I can start believing better things for myself? And if you're really struggling with this process, then get someone to help you. Get a coach, get a psychiatrist or psychologist, get a mentor or even a church counselor or anything like that. And finding the ability to catch an emotion, assess the thought behind the emotion, and then reframe that thought can then lead to different emotional experiences. So if you reframe the thought that you are only worth rejection, next time your friend doesn't text you back, then perhaps you could believe, you know, maybe they were just busy and this isn't a reflection on the person that I am. This isn't a reflection of my character. And then you can move away from destructive behavior. Another thing that keeps you from feeling internally free is the idea of rigidity. So we are flowing beings. We come and we go, we rise and we fall, we live and we die. And I truly believe that eating disorders are the greatest form of denial of death. You know, we try to keep our body in an exact certain way. We want to do everything we can not to let it fluctuate. And this is basically denying ourselves our most human attribute, which is that everything fluctuates. Everything comes and goes, everything rises and falls. And that is the cycle and the flow and the sound and the movement of life. And so when you're finding yourself stuck in rigidity, in counting numbers, in weighing yourself in specific food types, then you are going to feel like something is stuck because you're trying to keep yourself stuck. And keeping yourself stuck is not natural. So when you're in a place where you're not allowing yourself to be human and flow with the nature of life and with your cycles, you're definitely going to be feeling like your internal freedom is hindered. One of the last things that I really believe creates a feeling of being internally unfree, if that's even a thing, is denying yourself your creative expression. And now this is such a huge one. And a lot of people think when they say creative expression, they go, well, I'm not an artist. You know, I don't paint. I'm not a musician. I don't dance. And yes, these are forms of creative expression, but they aren't the only ones. Creative expression is the ability to say, this is who I am, and I'm not ashamed of saying that. I am a loving person. I'm a giving person. I am a stern person. I am a organized person. I am a finicky person. You know, anything that comes up that you feel like, hey, this is me. And, you know, I speak about creative expression, but what I really mean is being really okay with saying who you are without shame. And so you might find that one person, such as myself, needs to be able to creatively express myself in the form of vocalization. I need to be able to speak. and need to be able to connect through speaking. Whereas another person might authentically show up as themselves as a very reserved and quiet person. And maybe they have people saying, oh, why don't you talk more? Why don't you share more feelings? Maybe that's just not you. Maybe you aren't a person who likes talking for hours and hours. And that's totally okay. Are you able to show up authentically as yourself and be okay when you show up like that? And when you want to creatively express yourself and maybe you don't know how, do things like journaling, meditation, dancing around in your room and singing at the top of your lungs, even if you don't know how to sing, or even just speaking your truth, going to your partner and saying, what you said today hurt my feelings, without accusing them, without blaming them, without trying to start a fight. When you can express yourself, you are allowing your internal self to be free. Now that we kind of have an idea of the things that might destroy or hinder the ability to be internally free, you might ask yourself, well, how can I cultivate internal freedom? And how can I make it last? Well, the first thing to do is to create space for yourself. We spend so much time just going and going and going and doing and doing and doing. And the thing that I've learned the most in my life is that doing gets me only so far. The other half of my time, I need to be being. I need to be creating physical space, space that allows my body to rest, space that allows my physical recovery. I need to be creating emotional space. You know, a lot of the time, what we might do is we might have, say, an argument with someone, or we disagree with someone, or there's a topic or a conversation that's had, and our immediate thing is we want to respond straight away because we're emotional. We feel a strong emotion and an urge to have ourselves heard in that moment. But remember what I said earlier is that when we let emotions have too much power over us, sometimes they can lead to harmful things that aren't thought out, that aren't given some space to be felt, to be understood. So when you can go, okay, what emotion am I having? How can I give this emotion some space to be felt, to be understood, and to be heard? And then how can I do something in accordance with what is good for my life? So using the example of being in an argument with someone, maybe the best thing you can do for yourself is say, hey, I hear what you have to say. Can I have some time to think about my answer? And I'll talk to you in a bit, you know. And we get so afraid of just putting up that boundary and creating that space. We also need to create mental space. A lot of us go, 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 go once again, and we're working, or we're always filling our mental space with something, with Instagram, with our phones, with anything that we can get our hands on to suffocate our mental space. But you need to be able to create a decluttered mind in order to be able to navigate your thoughts coherently and really drop into what is good for you, what you need, and to create that sense of rest as well. Resting the mind is such an important thing. So think about what creating space looks like for you. Does it mean that you're going to carve out some time in the day to meditate? Or does it mean that you are going to go for a walk on the beach? Or does it mean that you listen to soft and gentle music when you're doing your work? Or does it mean that you put a boundary up with someone emotionally or in your career? Another way of cultivating internal freedom is to have continued willingness to reflect upon yourself. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong, is maybe they'll go to a therapist and they'll talk about their problems for a few weeks and then they just carry on with life and they don't integrate what they learned in the process of healing and cultivating lasting freedom. And they don't realize that the ability to be one's most optimal self comes with commitment to the process. There is a workshop that I do with the four questions of how to internally navigate yourself on a regular basis. Four questions that I ask to further integrate into understanding yourself better. These four questions I will be elaborating on in another podcast, so look out for it to come. But I will tell you in brief the four questions. The first one is to ask yourself what your priority is in that moment. What do I need to focus on? The second one is to try and create some level of joy in the experience. What is something I'm learning? Something that's good? Something that I can take out of this? Some way I'm growing? Anything that can put your head into a space of gratitude or into a space of mindfulness, and you apply that thing to the situation. The next question is, what am I feeling? So acknowledging the feeling, and then, as we said before, acknowledging the thought behind the feeling and dealing with that. And then the last question is asking yourself, what do I need? And then honoring that need and giving it to yourself. Now, these four questions are things that you can practice on a daily basis. And the more you practice it, the better you're going to become at being able to do it in an instantaneous moment when you need to actually deal with something that is right in front of you. Another thing that helps you cultivate lasting internal freedom is loving detachment. This is when you know when to walk away from something that doesn't bring you internal freedom, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a career, whether it's a mindset. To be able to say, I acknowledge you, I observe you, I love you even, but I'm not going to engage with you, or I'm not going to continue this process with you. Like I said, even if it's a thought, you can choose to not continue a process with a thought. You can choose to not engage in a thought. And sometimes you might need to choose 100 times a day. I remember when I was once in cyclical thinking about insecurity and an element of my relationship, and I couldn't help but just cycle through the same thought over and over and over again. And I was creating these scenarios in my head that were entirely based in fiction. None of it had happened. I was imagining my partner leaving me, and I was playing out the exact scene of what exactly would happen and what he was thinking. And I was just like, this is the maddest thing in the whole world. What are you doing to yourself? And I couldn't get out of the thought. And eventually I decided, I am going to choose not to think this. And so whenever I found myself stuck in that cycle, I would say, snap out of it. You are choosing not to think this. And I had to do that over and over and over again. But eventually the thought left me and I stopped having that fear, because I decided to stop having that fear. Now, you may need to do a loving detachment in a different way, but this is just what worked for me. The second last thing is honesty. And that is definitely something that I have had to work very, very hard at. And if I am not keeping myself in check, if I am not working on myself on a daily basis, I find it's very easy to slip into self-dishonesty. And this is where I'm not acknowledging my feelings and not expressing them. And this is where I am people-pleasing. This is where I am doing things that don't add value to my life, or even doing things that harm me. And I need to be very cognizant of when I'm doing these things. So self-honesty and the ability to then, by extension, be honest with others is a very important part of cultivating lasting internal freedom. And then another one that ties into this creative self-expression is the art of play. And now, if you think of that pure version of that innocent child that I spoke about earlier, an innocent child plays. You know, if I think of myself when I was 5 or 6 years old, I just wanted to play. I wanted to be everyone's friend and I wanted to have fun. And so incorporating play into my life again is so important. You know, going for a swim in the ocean, even going to see a friend's kids and playing with them and pretending to be a zombie or a monster, you know. Play for me is also playing my musical instruments. And sometimes it can even look like being silly with my partner. Don't think just because I'm 45, I have to conform to a certain way of being. The more you allow your spirit to play, the more you channel your inner child, the better you have of a chance of internal freedom. So now that you have an idea of what internal freedom is and why it's important for lasting recovery, I'm going to leave you with two key ingredients for life. And this can be for anyone, really. And it can be for your recovery. Or you could tell someone who is in recovery that these are two key ingredients. They're not the only ingredients, but they definitely do stand out amongst the crowd. These two things are to be present and to be authentic in your presence. So to be present helps you to intuitively know what to do and when to do it. And to be authentic in your presence means that the things that you choose to do will align to the highest version of yourself, which will mean that things in your life will feel better. So there you have it. Cultivating lasting internal freedom is key in any recovery journey. And I really, really hope that you can take some of the things you've heard today and start applying them to your recovery journey. Thanks so much, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you have liked it, share it with people who you think might benefit from listening to it as well. Don't forget to go to my Instagram page called @curiousaboutrecovery to find out about upcoming episodes or to browse the episodes of the past. You can also follow my page called @KirstenHoneyball, where you can get inspiration for your eating disorder recovery.